So kids, I need your help with something this morning. I've got several things I need to hand out. First of all, everybody gets a paper towel. Adults, I'm not giving you each paper towel, but in your bulletin on the back for the sermon notes, there's a square. That's your paper towel if you want to participate with the kids, because we're going to have some fun, and I didn't want to let the adults feel unloved and, you know, not included. So adults, you get to participate if you so desire. I need to get some help, because this is going to take me all day to pass out all my stuff. You guys are hiding over here, too. All right, Aaron, can you do me a favor? Can you put your paper towel down? And can you hand out a piece of cardboard to everybody? Because we're going to color on our paper towels. And last year when I did this, I may have gotten marker all over the church I was at. So this year, we're going to hand out cardboard as clipboards so that we don't get marker on the pews and I don't get in trouble. Because nobody likes when I get in trouble, right? They're like, you can get in trouble all you want. All right, and you need a paper towel too? You want to color? Yes, please. And a marker. So this morning, we're going to kind of talk through the story of Jesus a little bit, and we're going to get you guys to help us, and then we'll talk to the adults some more in a little bit. But our paper towels this morning, or for the adults, your square when you're bulletin. Do you guys know what color is our paper towel?
Thank you.
White. Our paper towel is white. What do you think our paper towel represents? What do you think our white paper towel means? Any guesses? Let's say that our paper towel is a picture of our insides, our soul. All right, right now, is it clean? Yes, it's very clean. Is that the way our insides really look?
No.
No, the Bible tells us that everybody has sin. What is sin? Aaron?
It's something that's really bad.
It's something that's really bad. What else is sin? No one else wants to help me this morning? You're going to leave me hanging on Easter Sunday? All right, sin is anything that we say, think, or do that makes God unhappy. It's all the bad stuff that we do. And the Bible tells us that we all are born with sin because Adam and Eve sinned, and now we all have sin. So I need you on your paper towel, adults, you can grab a pencil out of the pew if you want. I need you to make a big mark down your paper. All right, make a big mark for the sin that we're all born with. All right, so is it clean anymore? No, it's not clean anymore. But is that the only time that we sin? All right, I don't need you to tell me yes or no, but if you have ever told a lie, make a mark on your paper. If you've ever done something that made mom and dad upset, make a mark on your paper. Adults, you can do this too in your bulletin there. If you have ever taken a cookie before dinner, make a mark on the paper. If you have ever hit your brother or sister, make a mark on your paper. If you have ever, I don't know what else, something else, what else are you not supposed to do? If you've ever fought with your friends, or if you've ever yelled at mom and dad, or if you've done anything that you're not supposed to do, make a whole bunch of marks for all those sins. Now, so let me see your paper. Okay, I see lots of papers or paper towels with lots of marker on it. Now, here's our problem. God is perfect. God has no sin, and God can't be around sin, which means we're not allowed to be with God. That's kind of sad, isn't it? And that's why God sent Jesus. This paper towel is Jesus's. Do you notice what's missing? There's no lines on it. Jesus was born with no sin because he was God's son. He was perfect. Now, the Bible tells us that the consequence or the punishment for our sin is death. Do you guys get in trouble when you do bad things at home? Yeah. Well, the Bible says when we sin, we deserve to die, which is why Jesus died on the cross. But did Jesus have any sin? No, should Jesus have had to die? No, do you know what Jesus did? Jesus went and he said, I don't have sin, but you have sin, and you have sin. And he came and he took your sin, and he took yours, and he took yours, and yours, and yours, and yours. I'm glad we used cardboard. I see the marker bleeding through there. I was smart this year. And he took yours, and he took all of your sins. And when they put Jesus on the cross, whose sins was he dying for? Was he dying for his sin? He was dying for all of our sins, and I'm not going to use a nail because I don't want to put a hole in our nice looking cross. But when Jesus went on the cross, he had all of our sins. Again, did Jesus have any of his own sins? No, he went to the cross with his own sins, our sins. And then what happened after he hung on the cross? What happened? He died, and what did they do with him? They put him in the tomb. Look at my tomb I made this week. I had arts and crafts time this week. It's beautiful, isn't it? And so Jesus, they took him off the cross, and he had all of our sins, and they put him in the tomb. And how long was he in the tomb? Anybody know? How long was he there? Not 7 days. Anybody else? Kind of like 2 days, but we say it was 3 days. It was Friday night, all day Saturday, and a little bit of Sunday. In Bible times, they used to count days by even parts. So part of Friday, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning, he was in the tomb. You guys use a lot more marker than we did last year. Because when Jesus came out of the tomb, he came out, and there's him. We'll leave that there. But guess what else he came out with? He came out with your paper towel, too, if I can get some here. They're stuck. He came out with your paper towel, and guess what? It was clean, too. So when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't need to die for his sins. He died for your sins. And then what did he do with your sins? He washed them away. Didn't we just sing that? That Jesus washed our sins away white as snow? So that's why we come to church on Easter to celebrate that our sins, our insides, are washed away. And adults, in your bulletin, the second box that you didn't color in, that's your new paper towel, since you didn't get to throw yours in the tomb. Isn't that kind of cool? Isn't it really nice? So that's what we're talking about this morning. So you guys can go back to your seats. You can just leave your markers on your pews, leave the cardboard there. I'll clean it up all later. But we're going to talk more about this, of what Jesus did. And that Jesus went to the cross, taking our sins, and when he rose Sunday morning from the empty tomb, our sins were washed away. Now, adults, it's interesting as we kind of transition maybe to some more thoughts about this, that by living in the year 2017, we have a luxury that we can open up the scriptures and we can read this story. We can see what happened on Friday. We can see Jesus dying on the cross. We can see him going to the tomb. We can see him coming out of the tomb. And we see the whole narrative of Easter just by reading a few short chapters. And obviously, we're here to celebrate that this morning. Obviously, that fills us with joy as believers in what Jesus has done for us. But this morning, I want to challenge you to put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Think about how the disciples would have felt during this period of time. Can you imagine watching Jesus die on the cross? Can you imagine watching the person that you believed was going to change the world, to bring about God's kingdom? Can you imagine watching him hanging on the cross? Can you imagine watching him breathe his last breath? What would you have done? What would you have thought? Again, we have the luxury of reading about the cross, but already knowing the next part of the story. The disciples, even though Jesus had told them what was going to happen, didn't understand or couldn't understand. And so they watched their entire life, their entire ambition of following Jesus, of seeing him bring about God's kingdom, they watched it all die on the cross. And then they couldn't do anything about it. Not only could they not bring Jesus back to life, it was also the Sabbath. When they put Jesus' body in the tomb, they didn't get to finish his funeral. They didn't get to finish his burial because the sun was going down Friday night and it was the Sabbath. They had to go home and they could do nothing according to the Jewish laws. And so all day Saturday, they just sat there reflecting on what they had just seen, not knowing where the story was going to go, which is why we see the first thing Sunday morning, the women going to the tomb. And Ken already read the passage for us this morning, but I'd like to read it again because this is the essence of why we are here. Luke chapter 24, we'll start at verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothing that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Now, this is the message that we celebrate this morning, that he is risen. And we come with great joy. But can you imagine how they would have received this message? They would have been excited, obviously, but confused nevertheless. What do you mean he is risen? What does that mean? And so the women rush off to tell the disciples, and the story in John shows that the disciples rush to the tomb. They see that it's empty, and they also are confused, perplexed. Scripture tells us that they go back to the house wondering what these things mean. Did you ever realize that in the Gospels, when we read the Easter story, that Jesus doesn't reveal himself to the disciples until Easter evening? We have the luxury of gathering together Easter morning and knowing the story. We start our Easter morning off by celebrating. Yet on that first Easter, they would have started their day off mourning. Then they would have gotten excited at the news that the women shared from the angel. And then they went away perplexed, confused, trying to figure out what was happening and what the implications were. And in the midst of their perplexity and their pondering, there's a side story that Luke shares with us. And it's a side story that I always find to be one of the most fascinating parts of the Easter narrative. It's the one that we don't always look at as much. So I want to look at it this morning. Luke chapter 24, drop down to verse 13. It says, "Now that same day, two of them, two followers of Jesus, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened." So now here you have two guys. These are not the disciples. These are two other followers of Jesus. They've heard what happened at the tomb that morning, but they have plans to get out of Dodge. Again, this is the first opportunity they have to do anything after the crucifixion. And so they get up that morning and they head out of town. They head towards Emmaus. And the whole way they're talking about what just happened. They're debriefing with each other, going, what happened? What should we do about this? They're looking at the crucifixion. They're talking about how they had to wait through the Sabbath. They're recapping the events of the whole weekend. And they're talking about what they had hoped was going to happen. And they're talking about what they've lost. And as they're walking and as they're talking, Scripture tells us that they meet a stranger on the road. Verse 15. "As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these last days?'" In other words, Cleopas looks at Jesus, not recognizing him, and says, "Dude, have you been living under a rock?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." As these two guys are leaving Jerusalem and just apparently trying to get on with their lives, not knowing what else to do, Jesus meets them on the road and asks a very simple but profound question. He basically says, "Hey guys, what's up?" And the very question makes them stop. It says they stood still, their faces downcast, as they remembered why they're sad, and they remembered all they had lost. They remembered the hope that they had lost when Jesus died. And you just can have this mental image of them just stopping in shock as Jesus' punches to the heart, say, "Hey guys, what's up?" And they said, "We've lost everything." They said, "We had hoped that he was going to redeem Israel. We had expectation that things were going to happen. But now, we don't know what to do." And it's interesting, there's some irony here, at least I think there is, that they then proceed to tell Jesus who they thought he was. But notice as they tell Jesus who they thought Jesus was, they never say he was the Son of God. They never say he was the Messiah. They simply say he was a prophet and he was powerful in word and deed. Maybe he was the Messiah, maybe he was the Redeemer of Israel, but we don't think so now. It doesn't look like it because, well, he died. We don't know what to believe. And they continue in verse 22. They said, "In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." For a moment, they have a glimmer of hope. They hear the message that Jesus is risen, but it's interesting that what they've seen, what they witnessed on Friday at the cross, supersedes what they're hearing. They said, "Look, the reality is we saw him die. We saw him hanging on the cross, bloodied and beaten. We saw him breathe his last breath. What more can there be? We have lost all hope." Even Peter, who ran to the empty tomb, Scripture tells us that he saw the empty tomb and he walked away wondering what it meant. They had lost all hope. Jesus then in verse 25 says to these two guys on the road, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they're walking along, just reflecting on their loss, reflecting on their lost hope, Jesus shows up and he tells them through the scriptures exactly what has happened, exactly how scripture told us this would happen. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going to go farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened our eyes to the scriptures?" Then they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Peter." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. At realizing who Jesus was, at realizing who they had spent the day with, it is then that their hope is restored. They discover the risen Lord and who he truly was. Their hope was rekindled as Jesus opened the scriptures to them. Their hope was restored when Jesus revealed who he was. And isn't it interesting that it took them most of the day to get to Emmaus as they trudged along the road in their hopelessness? And yet we read here that as soon as just Jesus disappeared from their sight, as soon as they realized who he was, they get up and they run the whole way back to Jerusalem. Can you see the difference in their lives? They had been downcast and hopeless, and yet their hope has been restored. And so they go back and they share with what they've seen and heard with the disciples. And it's then at that moment that Jesus appears to the disciples as the risen Lord. Not until the evening. It was a long day of wondering and reflecting. Over the course of this Lenten season, over the course of this time of preparation, as we've kind of set our hearts and focused on the cross, we've been looking at all of the things that we receive at the cross of Jesus. And just to review very quickly this morning, we recognize that at the cross of Jesus, that Jesus gives us justification. How Jesus realigns us with God. How Jesus makes us right with God. That we can have the righteousness of Jesus. We've looked at how at the cross, Jesus gives us his word. And this helps us to live in line with God's will, to understand the word of God and what God is calling each of us to do and how he's calling each of us to live. We've talked about how at the cross of Jesus, we receive mercy. That we do not receive the things that we deserve. The punishment that we talked about this morning, how we all deserve to die for our sins. We receive the mercy of Jesus at the cross. And we're not punished. We also receive the grace of Jesus at the cross, that we receive the many blessings that we do not deserve. And then finally, last week, we spent some time looking at the fact that at the cross of Jesus, we receive forgiveness, that our sins can be washed away by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. But this morning on Easter, we can add one more thing to the list. One more thing that we can celebrate about, one more thing that we can respond in worship to Jesus, and that simply put is at the empty tomb, Jesus solidifies our hope. It's when we come into the empty tomb on Easter morning, we recognize that our hope is in Jesus, and we have hope in our future. And we've talked about this in the past. When we talk about hope, we have to understand we're not talking about worldly hope. Because I say, I hope I'm getting a bicycle for my birthday. That means I wish I get a bicycle. It would be nice if I got a bicycle. But when we talk about our hope in Jesus, we're talking about a godly hope, a confident expectation, an assurance, a sure thing. When we see the empty tomb, we are assured of our future. We know that we have an eternity with God in heaven because Jesus has paid the price. And we here at Hope Born in Christ Church feel so confident and so connected to this hope that we have in Jesus, we've put it in part of our name. Our hope is in the future. Our hope in being with God is all founded in Christ. It's all founded in the empty tomb. That when we see our risen Lord and Savior, we know we have a hope in Jesus. We know that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be justified before God, as we are showered with his grace, his mercy, and his love. 1 Peter in chapter 1, 3 through 5, Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." This morning on Easter Sunday, we look at the whole story from cross to the empty tomb, and we marvel at the empty tomb. We celebrate the empty tomb. We celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. We reflect that our sins have been washed away. And so this morning, we've adjusted our service a bit in that we're going to continue in worship. Because we want to continue to worship our risen Savior, who not only defeated sin, not only conquered death, but has brought us the hope of a future with him. That we can be reunited with our loving God and our Father. Let us pray this morning. God, we come every year to the empty tomb. We come every year to the cross of Jesus, and we recognize the gifts of the cross. We recognize the gifts that Jesus brings us. And it's sometimes very easy for us just to kind of get comfortable with them, Lord. And yet as we reflect on that first Easter and we recognize the confusion and the perplexity and the hopelessness the disciples and Jesus' followers would have experienced, Lord, we only respond in worship that you have blessed us to understand the whole story, that you have opened the scriptures up to us this morning, that we can see the gift of Jesus, the gift of forgiveness, and the restoration of our hope, that we have a hope and a future with you, Lord. And so this morning, Lord, we continue to worship and honor you that you have forgiven our sins and that you have promised us a new life just as Christ has risen from the dead. And we pray this in the name of our risen Lord and Savior. And all of God's people said, Amen.